Well, hello, ladies. Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name's Nadia, and very happy you joined me here today for Athaliah Part 2. This is Episode 8. We are talking about Queen Athaliah. If you missed Part 1, do watch that first because it will give you the backdrop. It will give you the background information that you need as we examine the life of this evil queen. Athaliah was the queen of Judah for 6 years. And what was something that really stood out regarding Athaliah was that she murdered all the heirs in her family, her grandchildren and the sons, her own son. Like, who can possibly fathom that? Again, she was the daughter of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And so we know where she got her evil streak from. And that's what we talked about last time. We talked about the importance of parenting. That was lesson number one, how critical it is as a parent to raise your children in the ways of the Lord. Otherwise, if you are not godly, they are going to mimic you, which is something that she certainly ended up doing in her own life. She was like her evil parents. And so today we're going to talk about, well, we're going to talk about the second lesson that we're going to pick up. And if you are single, this is for you, because we will see in this story how this part of our lives as a single person is important, of what we can pick up from this story. And so the second lesson that we learn is choosing a godly spouse should be high on our checklist. Oh my goodness. I can't tell you the number of times over the years that my husband and I, in the 37 years that we've been married, have counseled women, and they are all distraught afterwards because they said, oh yes, before we got married, my husband or my fiance had said he was going to serve the Lord and didn't. I cannot tell you how much that has happened. Well, let's look and see through the Word of God, through this portion of Scripture, why this is important. Now, Athaliah's husband, if you remember, was King Jehoram. And you have to remember that Jehoram had a very good upbringing, so we believe. Who was his father? Last time I put up the genealogy, and I'll do that again just to show you right here, that his dad was King Jehoshaphat, who followed God with all of his heart, and so did his grandfather, King Asa. What went wrong? What happened, and why was he off course? Why did King Jehoram all of a sudden decide to kill all his brothers by the sword and do evil in sight of the Lord? You know why? Because he married the wrong woman. He married Athaliah, who was Jezebel and King Ahab's daughter. I'm telling you, very important how we have to choose the right person in our lives. I'll give you a little synopsis. Oh, I won't give you my entire testimony, but I'll tell you a little something. At one point when I gave my heart to the Lord, I was 18 years old and, you know, all on fire for God. I was so on fire for him. And you know how Satan is. Satan comes immediately to take away the word that's been sown, as it says in Mark chapter 4. So he knows our weaknesses, ladies. Whatever your weakness is, he knows. And my weakness was, well, you know what? I wasn't into the dating scene. I wanted to date somebody that I was going to marry. Satan knew that. So who does he put? He puts somebody in my life that did not serve the Lord. And in my mind, I said, oh, I'll give him 3 months. And if he doesn't come to the Lord, I'll just forget about him. Well, ladies, 3 months turned into 6 months, turned into a year, turned into 2 years, turned into 3 years. Can I tell you something? You know what? I was the most miserable person around. You know who the most miserable person is in the world? The most miserable person is a person who has tasted the Lord, who knows the things of the Lord, and then turns their back on God. A backslider. That's the most miserable person. Why? Because they realize nothing else, nobody else can satisfy like the Lord. Can I tell you something, ladies? Your husband will never satisfy you. I don't care if he is Prince Charming. I'm married to Prince Charming, by the way. but he can't meet my every need. I can't meet his every need. God is the only one. God has to be first in our lives. And so during that time, I'll let you know, I met my husband and he did sit me down and he gave me a story. And I'm going to share this story with you. The importance of being and following God, being a godly person. So he gave me a story of birds. A boy who loved birds. He had a canary. Now, when I got married to my husband, we had canaries, and I'm telling you, I loved canaries. They sing incredibly. I only wanted to buy singing canaries. One of our canaries, we named him Perky, by the way. He was very perky. He sang at 2 o'clock in the morning. We put a little covering over his cage, but that didn't hinder him. He was a very happy bird. And so Dino gave me this illustration, and he said there was a boy that loved birds, and he had a singing canary, and this singing canary, oh, he would sing all the time. And one day this little boy, he found a sparrow that was injured. He found a sparrow on the road. The wing was broken, and he thought, you know what, maybe I'll take this sparrow and I'll just bring him back to health. I don't have another cage, but I'll put him in the cage with my canary, and maybe as he gets better, he'll start to sing like the canary. So the boy was looking after the bird, and each and every day that little sparrow got stronger and stronger. And one day he noticed a very strange sound. It wasn't the sparrow who started to sing like the canary, but the canary began to sing like the sparrow. What does this show you, ladies? Ladies, if you are a canary of God with a beautiful song, his song in your heart, when you start hanging around sparrows, you'll be singing like a sparrow. You have to watch how you are going to compromise. And that was the lesson that my husband tried to give me back then. Again, I'm going to share my testimony at another date, which you won't want to miss. But that is so true. And here we see Jehoram. In this story, he had a godly father. He had a godly grandfather, Asa, and he abandoned all the teachings of his father. Why? Because of who he married, who he was with. And she influenced him to do evil, evil in the sight of the Lord. Look at what 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 5 and 6 say. Here we go. And Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, not of the kings of Judah, not his father and grandfather, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Do you see that? What it says right here? It shows exactly why he behaved the way he behaved. He lost it all. Why? Because he married Athaliah, because he had Athaliah as a wife. So all those years of spiritual training, all those years that Jehoshaphat may have just instilled godly principles in his life, all went down the drain because of the wife he married. Oh, how important it is to choose the proper spouse, the proper spouse. Now, this is a very touchy subject. Sometimes, is it possible that you can marry somebody that isn't a Christian and they can later on become a Christian? Yeah, it's possible, but the Bible doesn't advise it for a reason. Ladies, let me tell you something. Marriage has enough problems in itself without having to worry about whether your spouse serves the Lord or not. You want God as the foundation of your home. The foundation of your home. As it says in Matthew chapter 7, you ought to build your house upon the rock, not on sand. And so what are you looking for in a husband? Or your children looking for in a husband? Important to talk to them about that. You know, today, it's all over Instagram, it's all over social media, it's all over TV, the things that are elevated, beauty is elevated. Let me tell you something, beauty is so second rate, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, as it says in Proverbs 31. Oh, let me tell you, today women are looking to be beautiful. Women are looking for wealth. And you know what? When you look and see the record of Hollywood, they have all the beauty and wealth. And where does that get them? Nowhere. They are the most miserable people in the world. Why? Because they marriage after marriage, boyfriend after boyfriend, affair after affair. And you know what? They turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to suicide. They're unhappy. Why? Because only God can fill that void. He is your maker. He is your husband. He needs to be first. This is what's most important. And meanwhile, in the world, beauty and wealth is elevated. We talked about Abigail last time. Right off the bat, you knew she was beautiful, the Bible says, and she was wealthy. But did she focus on that? No. Why do you think God elevated her? God elevated her because of her character, because of the true things that she sought, the true things of the Spirit that were important. And ladies, when we look for things that are of God, things that are of the Spirit, that's when we get elevated. And so today, beauty, wealth, education, career objectives, compatibility, all those things are on our checklist before even making sure that that man loves the Lord. That should be number one. That should be number one. Listen, I don't care if he looks like one of the most handsomest fellows in Hollywood. It doesn't matter. Those things don't last. Beauty fades. We all get older. These things go away. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work. But it works with God. When you look for a man who is godly, what is going on? And so Jehoram should have known, I better find a wife who is godly. And he didn't. He ended up marrying Athaliah, and that was his complete downfall. Look, we know with Abraham, when he was 140 years old, and Isaac was 40 years old, that was the time when Abraham really wanted Isaac to find a proper wife. What was he looking for? Well, look what the Bible says here. And Abraham sent off his eldest servant to go look for a wife. What did he look for? Let's just look and see. Genesis 24, verses 2 to 4. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family, and take a wife for my son, Isaac. Ladies, what was on the top criteria for Abraham for his son? It was to find a family member, to find someone within the family of God. He didn't want the Canaanites. He knew that the Canaanites were going to lead his son astray. And so how much more? I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether all those other criterias, the physicality, the money, the wealth, the education, all those things we put such great emphasis on. Listen, I want to tell you a little secret. When I was young, this was my heart. And I said, Lord, I just want someone. I don't care if he's a garbage picker. I want someone to love you and to love me. That was my requirement. And that's how it should be. It doesn't matter what he looks like, what it is, but make sure that he loves the Lord first. Loves the Lord first and foremost, and you will be blessed. Blessed. Look at this, and we all know the scripture. Let's look at what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked. We know the scripture, unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Ladies, unequally yoked. We know about that, and sometimes it's like, okay, we think of it just in marriage, but it's not just in marriage. It's in every facet of our lives, whether it's a business relationship, whether it is a friendship. We got to be careful who we are friends with, because birds of a feather flock together, right? And so we got to be really careful. My dad would always say, you want to get to know somebody, see who their friends are. And there's truth in that. And so we have to make sure that we have godly relationships. And this is important. Now, you know, the Bible says here, unequally yoked. What is a yoke? Well, let me just show you a picture here. And Deuteronomy speaks of this. Deuteronomy 22:10, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. And here's a picture of an ox and a donkey. And there's the yoke that is on top of them. And why was a yoke put on animals? Well, it would give them strength and it would facilitate plowing. And so they could all walk together. The purpose of a yoke is you would do it together. Mission accomplished. You're going in the same direction. What does an ox and a donkey have? They're not going to be moving. Half the time that donkey will be stubborn and not want to move. And that's what the Bible says here. This is a picture of being unequally yoked, right? And so we have to be so careful with this. And so look at this other picture. Here are two ox. They have a yoke on top of them. One is bigger, one is smaller. Now, who do you think is going to be leading this? It won't be the smaller one, the bigger, the stronger one. It's unequally yoked. They're not the same size. They should be relatively the same size to move in the same direction. That bigger ox is going to take off one way. And so you have to understand that there's an importance in being yoked equally. Otherwise, you will not accomplish your mission. So if you are getting married, make sure that you are equally yoked spiritually. You do not want to be with somebody that doesn't want to talk about God, that doesn't want to read their Bible, that, you know, is half-hearted about it, and you're strong. Because let me tell you something, eventually, either that sparrow that you're yoked with will make you start singing like a sparrow. And your hope is that you are going to cause that other person to sing like a canary. But let me tell you something. Did I just say earlier, my relationship with that person that did not follow God was 3 years. I tried, but eventually I started singing like a sparrow, which was not good. And so I was hoping he was going to sing like a canary. So ladies, don't fall into that trap. Because it will be a life of misery. Misery. Trust the Lord. Make sure that checklist right at the top is all about a man that loves the Lord. And a man that loves the Lord will love you. Know that. Will love you. So be very careful. And so Jehoram fell into that trap. And that was his demise. He had a wicked wife. He was unequally yoked, and look how he was destroyed in every sense of the word, destroyed spiritually and destroyed physically, that God pronounced a curse on him with an incurable disease, and his intestines were out. Can you imagine that? Some kind of flesh-eating disease that he had. What a horrible ending. We have to be so careful, ladies. make sure. I don't care if you are with somebody right now that is not serving the Lord. Cut it off. Cut it off. And if God wants you to be with him, let me tell you something. He will change that man's heart, but don't destroy your life. Don't walk down that path of destruction and become a sparrow. Be very careful, because Athaliah, well, she wasn't a sparrow. She was a vulture. She ate him alive. So whatever kind of singing canary he was, he didn't sing anymore. So ladies, be very careful. And what is the third lesson that we learn in this story? We learn that evil will bring ultimate destruction. Oh, when you are going down the path of evil and the path of wickedness, you will ultimately be destroyed. If you are, and sometimes we think, well, I'm not going down the path of evil. Listen, if you're not on God's side, whose side are you on? There's no middle. Whose side are you on? And so be very careful. If you're not serving God wholeheartedly and you are being influenced by the ways of the world, destruction will happen. It's inevitable. Listen, any kind of action movie that we see, who wins in the end? Oh yeah, you know, we always see good fighting against evil, but who wins in the end? Good wins in the end. Evil will be ultimately destroyed. And we see that with Athaliah. Here she was ruthless. She was a tyrant. And everybody had to obey her. And fortunately, Jehoiada, the priest, knew after 6 years. He was very quiet about it. Nobody knew. Nobody knew that even the king was alive. This little boy, Joash, was hidden and alive. Nobody knew. But at the right time, he came out. And so look at what 2 Chronicles 22:10 says. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the heirs of the house of Judah. Oh, you know, and I said this last time, there is nothing worse than a woman killing her own children. Let's put it this way. It's just against our nature. It's against our nature, a mother's nature, to kill her children, to kill her grandchildren. That is as satanic as it gets. And she is truly a picture of Satan, because her objective was to kill the heir of the throne. Ladies, here's an incredible insight, the insight that I was talking about. Wasn't Satan's objective to kill the heir of the throne, to kill Jesus? Jesus, remember with Herod back in the day, when Herod knew that there was a contender, that somebody was going to be king and perhaps replace him, he didn't understand that this was supposed to be a spiritual king and not an earthly king, but he got paranoid. So he issued a decree to kill all males under the age of 2. The heir to the throne. And so Satan had his objective, and here Athaliah was used by Satan to kill the heir of the throne. Can you imagine little Joash as he was growing up? He was a little boy and he was motherless, fatherless, and realized that his grandmother killed his siblings, killed his family members. What kind of hope would he have as a little boy, as an orphaned boy? What kind of hope, knowing that his grandmother did such a thing? And if it wasn't for the quick thinking of his aunt and his uncle to hide him in the temple, there would have been no heir. Isn't that amazing? Talk about a dysfunctional family. She tried to eliminate all the contenders for the throne. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised that Athaliah behaved in this way, because of course her mother was Jezebel. Her mother was threatened back in the day with pesky Elijah and tried to murder Elijah and the prophets, and tried to do whatever she could. as we see here, Athaliah tried to do whatever she could, but if it weren't for the stubborn servants of the Lord, Jehoiada the priest, and her daughter, her stepdaughter, stepping in, I'm telling you, there would not be any heir. And so, Athaliah, do you think she learned from her past? She could have learned from her past. She could have turned her ways. Everybody has an opportunity to turn from their ways, to turn from their evil ways. But you know what? She followed exactly what her mother was like. And so what do we see here? We see that as Athaliah tried to kill all the heirs, little baby Joash, there was Joash. He was hidden. He was hidden. He was protected. He was protected from Athaliah, just like Jesus was protected from King Herod, hidden in the land of Egypt, the same kind of scenario, all having to do with the heirs and protecting the heirs. Now, Satan can ultimately destroy, but he will be destroyed. God always wins. Why? Because Joash was a son of promise. Jesus is the son of promise who saved us. Let's look and see what 2 Chronicles 22:11 says. But Jehoshabeth, or Jehosheba, the daughter or stepdaughter of the king, or more so Athaliah, remember I talked about that last time, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so she did not kill him. So look at that, protected, protected. When everybody else was being murdered, Joash was being protected. God had promised, and look at this, you have to understand something, that if Joash was murdered, David's family would have been wiped out. There would have been no descendant of David. There would have been no promised Messiah, because the Messiah had to come from the lineage of David. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles 23:3. Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and he said to him, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord had said of the sons of David. Do you see and understand this, ladies, that Joash was a promised son that was hidden, hidden from Athaliah, as Jesus was hidden from Herod? And these things had to have happened to protect the lineage. Again, you see, Athaliah represented evil. Athaliah reigned for 6 years. 6 years, six representing man's number, but in the seventh year, God's number, Joash was revealed as king. Look at that. Look how amazing this was, that although through Athaliah and her satanic rampage, God protected Joash. God protected the promised seed. You see how this fits in the entire picture? Ladies, understand this, that when God has his hand on something and has that perfect plan, it will take place. Satan can try to do whatever he wants, but he will use the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Ladies, Athaliah was all about destroying heirs. Satan is all about destroying heirs. You are the heir. I am the heir. We are all heirs. And he is about destroying all of us. But let me tell you something. Although it may look like, and of course, Satan is the prince of this world, he is not king. And so Rejoice, ladies, that whatever you are going through, whatever difficulty it may be, that it may look like Satan is winning. It looked like Athaliah was winning, but that God has his perfect plan, and God in the appropriate time, he is hiding you. As he hid Joash, as he hid Jesus, he is hiding you under the shadow of his wings. He is protecting you. And until the fullness of time, I tell you, he will reveal it. He will bless you. He will touch your life. He will change things around, even though it might appear that Satan is winning. And what happened? Oh, Athaliah, of course, tore her clothes and she screamed treason, treason. And you know what happened with her? Of course, she was ordered to be taken out and she was right by the horse's gate. And that's where they killed her. That was where they killed her. Think about it. She was killed by the horse's gate. Horses trampled over her. What happened to her mother? Well, she was thrown from a tower and dogs ate her. Two horrible deaths. She lived up to her name, Athaliah. The Lord dealt violently with her, and that's exactly what happened. That was Athaliah's fate and how things turned out. Ladies, are you in a place of decision making? Are you in a place where maybe somebody in your family is dating somebody that they shouldn't be dating, and you need to pray over them. You need to pray that they find a godly person in their lives. Are you listening to advice maybe for you personally? The wrong kind of advice. Listen, we see that Athaliah spoke into Ahaziah's life to do wickedly. Do wickedly, do evil. She spoke as a mother into his life, and she spoke to her husband, King Jehoram, and good enough, he did evilly in the sight of the Lord. Who are we listening to, ladies? Who are we friends with? Who are the people around us speaking into our lives? Ladies, we have to be so careful who we take heed to, whose voices we're listening to. Make sure we're not unequally yoked. Maybe you're already married, but what about the entourage that are around you? Who are your friends? Make sure that you listen to godly advice, not people like Athaliah who are leading you astray, who are leading you to live mediocre lives as sparrows, but you want to be a canary for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, as we have learned from Athaliah, Lord, the wickedness that she deposited not only into her children's lives, but into her husband's life, Lord. And Father, we realize the importance of just having the right people around us. Help us to take heed to your word. Help us to take heed to godly people's warnings and admonitions, oh God. Lord, we want to be surrounded by the right people. We do not want to be unequally yoked in our relationships, in our businesses, because Lord, we see, Father, that Lord, they just lead us unto the path of destruction. And so Father, show us, lead us by your Spirit. Help us to make those right decisions. And Father, we thank you. We thank you as we see the preservation of your heir, Lord, in this story, how you preserved Joash, and Lord, how you hid Jesus, Lord, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank you for that divine protection, that truly Satan will not have his way in our lives, oh God, but that you ultimately, you look after us, you protect us when we trust in you. And so, Lord, we pray for divine protection over our minds, our hearts, our families, Lord. Look after our children. We ask again that you would save them, that they would lead lives that are pleasing unto you. And so, Father, we thank you. We once again commit our lives into your hands. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you, ladies, for tuning in today. I just pray that you make those right decisions today. If you are in an ungodly, unequally yoked relationship, break away from it. Be set free in the name of Jesus, because God has greater things in store for you. And next time, ladies, we are going to be talking about another bad girl of the Bible, and we are going to go into the New Testament. And so join me next time. If you haven't subscribed, do subscribe. Do share this with some of your friends. We want to deposit good things into their lives, that they would look into the Word and reflect and grow stronger in the Lord. And so bless each and every one of you, ladies. May the Lord bless you and your families. And remember, make today count in the kingdom of God. Love you, dear ladies, and we'll see you next time. Take care.